I'd like to have you look with me today at Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is a psalm that David wrote. We don't know exactly when he wrote it, but he put the words together under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. You know, some psalms address God. They're prayers that people are praying to God. Other psalms are addressing other people. They're spoken to sinners, where they're being taught the ways of God. They're spoken to the righteous, where they're being admonished to walk in God's ways and to honor Him and to follow His paths. They talk to the nation of Israel, and there are some psalms that talk to Gentile nations. But this psalm is different. In this psalm, David is talking to himself. You know the self-talk that we do? Don't you talk to yourself? I mean, I talk to myself. Your thoughts are going on and what you're thinking. And so David is talking to himself in this, his self-thoughts, as he's talking about how grateful he is. He's thinking about how grateful he is for all the things that God has done in his life. This is Psalm 103. Why don't you say this with me? I have all the verses here up on the screen. Let's just say Psalm 103. Let's read it together. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercies of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all ye hosts, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Wow. That's a great song. It's a great song. And you have this admonition that has taken form in hymns. Maybe you remember singing a hymn that was written in 1843. I went around at the time, but I've sung the hymn a number of times. Written by Henry Lace. It goes, praise the Lord, my soul, the King of heaven. To His feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like me His praise would sing? Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise the everlasting King. You remember that song? Yeah. I built right off this one. And it's a great concept, all these concepts of what God has done for us in this psalm. And in this psalm, David answers some questions. One of the first questions he answered is, how should I praise God? How do I praise Him? And in the psalm, he says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to bless the Lord with your innermost being, with all of your soul? It means your innermost being, with all that's there. if you notice in Psalm 103, all is used a lot. There's another place that all is used a lot. It's in Deuteronomy in the great Shema where Moses writes and says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And then he says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart. And with all your soul. And with all your mind." I mean, you're to put your whole self into it. It's to involve all of you in the innermost being. Jonathan Edwards, who is a great theologian in our country, you just know him for Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, that thing you had to read in school, but he was a very strong preacher, a very good preacher, cared much about missions and about people coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he said that you can't really praise God unless it affects your emotions. It's got to affect you on the inside when you're praising God. And so how do we praise God? With everything that's within us, we bless His holy name. And I like this picture. This is actually of a chapel that's in Texas. And I love the picture because it spirals up and you see all these different blocks that are there, the stained glass blocks that go through. Well, they remind me of the next part, which is bless His holy name. Because you know, in the name of God, you have all these different qualities, all these different characteristics, all these different things that make up His name. Well, what does it mean to bless the Lord? And how do I do that? I know what it means when God blesses me. Do you? I mean, we know what it is to receive blessings from God and have Him bless our lives. So how do you bless God? You know, when I was growing up as a young man, I had trouble trying to figure out what to get my mom and dad for Christmas. You ever experienced that? I mean, they blessed me all my life. Now, how can I bless them? What can I give that would bless them? What does it mean to bless God? I mean, how do we bless Him? What do we have to bless Him with? It's kind of hard. We bless God because God is the one who is inexhaustible in His blessings. Isn't it amazing? He never runs out of blessings. He's always got blessings to give to His people. And what we do is we recognize with joy God's blessing ability. And we honor Him for that. And that's described as blessing God. We just say, "Thank you, Lord," and we just list out what He's done. And that's how we bless Him. We bless Him that way. I helped out a family one time, and they were believers, but they were in a difficult situation. And I received a note from the wife, and it's the first time I've ever received anything like this. She said, "I don't have anything that I can give you, but I just want to say I bless you for what you've done." And what she was saying is, "Thank you for all your involvement in my life." That's what we do with God. When we don't have anything to give Him, we come and we bless Him. We praise Him for what He's done. There's some other words that carry forth this concept that are found in the Psalms, where the psalmist says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." We magnify the Lord. We talk about how great He is, how marvelous He is. And we just keep talking about that. And it's sort of like with this concept, you start off here and you keep building as He's greater and greater and greater and greater and greater. And let's exalt His name. That means to lift it up high, to have it to where people get to know about what God's done. And that's how we bless God. To bless God means to recognize His awesome richness, strength, and gracious bounty, and to express our gratitude and joy in seeing and experiencing it. That's how we bless God. We bless God. We just say, "Lord, I want to bless You for what You have done for me, for who You are and what You've done in me." It's sort of like saying, "God, You're really great. You're awesome. There's only one who's awesome. That's God. Everybody else is good, or can be good. Can be great, but God is awesome. God is special." So we bless His name. Now, what does it mean to bless His holy name? And how do I do that? Well, you understand, because you've been here. But there are other people that haven't understood this. They don't understand that whenever the name of God is mentioned, that concept of God always means His character and the operational qualities that make God's personality and His way of dealing with people. That's what God's name means. When the temple was established in Jerusalem, Solomon did that. He dedicated that to the name of God. It was a place where God placed His name. It was a place of prayer where God placed His name. People would go there and come before the Lord because it was dedicated to the name of God. They'd come before the Lord and they'd pray about any needs that were there. And God said if they would pray there, He would answer them. And so it's carrying forth His name. It's His name. We bless His holy name. The word holy, of course, means different, right? You know that, right? That's the root word of holy. So He's got a different name. It's a name that's unique in all the world. And you know, throughout the Bible, you have all these names of God that show forth His greatness. We'll talk about a couple of them even today. The Scriptures in Proverbs chapter 18, one of my favorite passages says, "And the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. And it's the name of the Lord. It's said in the singular, but it encompasses the whole, all the different names of God. It's the name of the Lord. Remember, we read in Matthew where Jesus said, "And baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So we have three names. That's plural, but there's one name, in the name of. And so we have this God who has these different names that show forth His different workings and actions and ways. And it's wonderful to know those names. It's at Christmas time now, or close to Christmas time. And this verse you'll see, it's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It talks about God's names. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name," there you have it again, singular, "His name shall be called," and then four names are given. "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." Isn't that neat? So if you have any decisions to make, you know where you can go? To the Wonderful Counselor. "He's the Mighty God." In the Hebrew it's El Gabor. I always like it. The Mighty, Mighty God. That means when you have a lot of demands on you, that these things are just weighting you down, you can go to the Mighty God. He can handle that. "He is the Everlasting Father." In the Hebrew, it's the Father of Eternity. And I liken it to Father Time, because He started it. He started time up when He began our universe. And so He began time. And He's over that. So when you see these pictures of Father Time, you understand they're incorrect. God's Father Time. He's the one who started it all off. And that really helps me, because I don't know about you, but I get in time crunches. Do you ever get in time crunches where things are difficult? Martin Luther said one day, he got up and he said, "I have so much stuff to do today, I have to spend 4 hours in prayer." Boy, that is not our mindset, is it? And yet, he would spend that time in prayer and he would have get accomplished more in that day than he would have if he hadn't have spent the time praying. So we come before the Lord. "Lord, I have this to do. I need help." And so He'll help us do that. And He's the Prince of Peace. Isn't that great that He's the Prince of Peace? Because we run into a lot of things that disturb our peace. Don't you find things disturb your peace? And God wants to bless you as the Prince of Peace. So, now the next thing David answers is this. Why should I praise God? What's the reason I should praise Him? And he gives us some wonderful pictures. He says this in verse 2. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." I don't know about you, but I got a good forgettery. Do you? I can forget things. You know, my wife, when I was working at the office and Lane was there, I'd have my wife and Lane. They'd tell me what to do. And it was great because I had that. Now I don't have a Lane, so I mess up a lot. And so, I have a good forgettery. I need to have things out because I get caught up in other stuff. And David's reminded. He says, "Listen, bless the Lord and don't forget all His benefits." One of the ways that you keep from forgetting His benefits is you bless the Lord for what He's done. And a great thing to do regularly is to bless the Lord for what He's done. Thank Him for what He's done. The Scriptures tell us that we should number our days. This is in the Psalms. Should number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. One of the ways that I find in doing that is before I go to sleep at night, I think about all the ways that God has blessed me and what significant things have happened in my life and how God's blessed me. If you do that, you'll keep in constant understanding of who He really is in your life. The problem for most believers is they thank God for what He's done on Sunday and then they go running into the week and they forget who He is, and therefore they get caught up in fear. They see news things and they get scared and they get they have problems come at work, and they get scared, and they have situations happen, and they get scared, and they get frustrated, and they've forgotten God. It's real easy for people to do. In fact, if you go through the Scriptures, that's what His people always did. They forgot God. How do you forget God? Well, you just get busy in life, and you forget Him. We need to put the praise of God in order not to forget what He's done for us. Let me have you turn, if you've got your Bible, not just listen, to the Deuteronomy in chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and also Deuteronomy chapter 28, God speaks to the people and warns them about their forgetteries. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, down at verse 10, God talks about them going into the land. Remember, this book of Deuteronomy is Moses giving several sermons for the people who were getting ready to head into the land. They've been living in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they're getting ready to go into the land. Moses is giving these sermons. And in chapter 8, starting in verse 10, he talks about people going into the land. And he says in verse 10, "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that He's given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest, when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were the fiery serpents and the scorpions and thirst to the land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of a rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you, that He might test you, to your good end. Then you will say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant with you, which He swore to your fathers, as it is today." And so the Lord wants us to remember Him. He's the one who provides us with these things. And it's easy for us to forget. Easy for us to forget. And so, let me just talk to you about kind of the benefits that He says we have as believers. Back over in Psalm 103, He talks about these. Look what He says. Here's the first one from verse 3. "Who forgives all your iniquities." He forgives our iniquities. I mean, we're caught red-handed with God. He knows us, right? And He can see everything. They've been talking in our country about the government and its surveillance on everybody. Guess what? God sees a lot better than that. He just doesn't see what you do on your computer. He sees what goes on in your brain. He knows your thoughts. Every one of them. He knows everything about you. And as He does that, He sees all the iniquities. He sees all the sin. He sees all the problems that you've got in your life that are against His ways. But you know what? He forgives us. He forgives our iniquities. And it's great to know that He does that. What are iniquities? You know what iniquities are? What did you say? They're sins. But when you have passages that use sins and iniquities, as this one does, a little bit later on, then all of a sudden this defines it out a little bit more. Iniquities is taking what God made that was very, very good and twisting it to where it now is something that's evil. So He takes something very good and makes it evil. We can do that. That's what men do with a lot of things, right? Is fire good or bad? Yeah, it's both, right? I mean, you need it to heat your homes and to cook your food, but used in a wrong way, as an arson would, it can bring major destruction and death. You know? I mean, things can be good and things can be evil. Anything we make, and many things that God made that were very, very good, people have taken and twisted them around for iniquity. And that's a problem, because the iniquity is the part that the Scripture says in Exodus, God says that He will, when people are rebelling, He'll visit the iniquity of the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. That's that taking and perverting, twisting things around. And that goes to different generations. It's really sad. But that's what happens if people don't walk with God. Those generational iniquities continue on and on and on and on and on. And they become a mindset, they become a way of life, and they bring about more hurt. So that's what iniquities are. But God takes our iniquities, and look what He does. He forgives them. He forgives them. How does He do that? There's a little indication right here. You know how He forgives them? You know what the word forgive means? The word forgive is a beautiful word in the Hebrew language, because it conveys to us a wonderful picture for our minds. When I was a teenager, I had the opportunity to go out to New Mexico, and some of you have heard this story before, but I was able to go out and go backpacking for a long time. And two guys in our troop were good size. I was one of them, and the guy named Don Cruz was the other. And so we carried the bigger packs for the guys, because these other guys, they weren't younger, they were just smaller. And we had to carry all of our tents. We had to carry all of our food. You had to carry your clothes. You had to carry your sleeping bag. You had to carry all your stuff. And they were just really pushed carrying their sleeping bag and their personal items. And so we got to carry the tents. Don and I carried the tents and all the cooking stuff. They carried a little bit of the food, but we carried all the utensils and stuff. So one of our packs with the tents in it weighed about 80 pounds. The other one weighed about 70 some odd pounds. And so we got to carry that as we did a 20-mile hike. And so we were young. I was in the teenage years, and so I was able to do it. And so we had been working out to try and get used to hiking up and down, and because that's all you had over there in New Mexico at that point in juncture where they were. You'd hike up or you'd hike down. There was no straight flat. It was one or the other. And so we got used to doing it, and when we would finally finish up the day's hike, anywhere up to 20 miles, sometimes 15, sometimes 10, Don and I had this ritual we went through, because none of the other guys could lift the packs off our back. And so we had this ritual where whoever had the tents, because that was a heavy pack, we would put our hands on our thighs and bend down like this. Another one would come and take the pack, and he would lift it up off your shoulders, and you'd get out of the straps, and he'd go set it down. And then he would do the same, and you'd lift it off of him. And I got to tell you, it was an amazing feeling. After you'd been carrying that thing for hours, it was an amazing feeling to have that weight that had been just constantly pulling on you off. I felt like I wasn't walking on the ground for about the first 5 minutes, because it was just so wonderful to have that extra weight gone. That's a picture of what forgiveness means. Forgiveness, the picture is to lift off. That's what forgiveness means. And you know what God does with our sin, our iniquities? He takes it and He lifts it off of us. We're guilty, but God lifts it off of us. And you know what He does with it? He put it on Jesus, who bore our sins in His body on the tree. When He was nailed to that tree, He bore our sins. So God forgives us. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful blessing to be forgiven of your sins. All throughout the Psalms, the psalmist talks about God's wonderful forgiveness. One of our sisters in the Lord here at our church, her sister just died, but because she knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He had forgiven her all her sins. And she deserved, just like all of us do, deserved to spend life away from God for all eternity. But God loved her, and He sent Jesus to die for her, so that the day that she breathed her last, she breathed brand new in heaven. And what a glorious place that is. Our entrance there is not because of anything we do. It's because of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. He forgives all our iniquity. That's a great blessing. That's a wonderful blessing. That's one we never get over. Another thing that He does is He heals all of our diseases. Isn't that a wonderful thing that God says He'll do? He heals. What a blessing. Have you been sick? When you get well, it's not because of what the doctors do. I mean, I'm not against doctors. I plan on being one. I'm in favor of doctors. I'm not against them. But you know what? They'll tell you, if they're honest, they can't heal you. They can cut something out or off, or they can do that. They can sew you up, but they can't heal you. But God does. God brings about the healing, and He touches your life, and He heals you from all diseases. You know, our symbol for healing, you ever notice what it is? It's the staff with snake wrapped around it. Remember that? If you go and search it out, you'll find they talk about the Greeks having this, and some of the old ancient Greeks around 600 or so B.C., they had that as a symbol, a snake wrapped around a pole. And it was a Greek symbol for that. But we beat them to it. We being the people who walk with God. For in the Bible, in the book of Exodus and Numbers, you have two particular stories that talk about God's provision. One is from Exodus chapter 15. This is right after Miriam led a big worship time as they were worshiping God because He brought them completely deliverance from Pharaoh's army. Remember, they'd come against them and Pharaoh's army got destroyed by the waters that had parted to let Israel through, coming back on top of them. And after the worship time, they made it their way over to the other side of the sea, and there was no water there. They went up to it, and the water was bitter. They couldn't drink it. And so they began what became a process in their life. They had to get it out of them. It took a long time to get it out of them, of complaining. You ever complained when things haven't gone right? Yeah. But guess what God can do? God can change those things. You know what the Lord did? The Lord had Moses cut down a tree and take that tree and drop it in the water. And when He did that, all of a sudden the water became clear and fine to drink, sweet, not bitter. Could God have done it without the tree? Could God have done it without Moses' involvement? Yeah. I mean, God can do anything, but God many times uses human beings to be involved with things. And so He did that, and God said to the children of Israel, I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah or Yahweh Rophe, the one who heals you. I'm the one who heals you. And God does that. He heals us from all our diseases. And the snake picture, well, that came in Numbers chapter 21. The children of Israel again had started complaining and griping against the Lord. When we complain and gripe, we're upset with God, you know what happens? Satan takes massive advantage of that. And serpents came in. Fiery serpents. And they bit the people. And they're called fiery because they evidently worked on the nervous system. And they just set the people on fire. When they got bit, they just... And then they died. But it was a death that came in quite a bit of flaming agony without a fire. It was just this feeling of flame. And it was terrible. And so people were dying. And God told Moses, He said, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. So they made a bronze one and put it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. See, we got this. You know when this was? This is around 1400 B.C. You know when the Greeks were? They weren't even around as a Greek people then. That's around 600 B.C. We had it first. It's ours. Put it on a pole. And it says, and it was, if the serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Later on, Jesus is going to talk about that, right? He's going to say in the Gospel of John, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. What God was basically using that picture was that we look to Jesus, we look on Him, we believe that He's going to do it, and then He brings about the healing and the provision. Forgiveness of sins, healing also for our bodies, our lives. So the Lord heals us of all our diseases. All right, so we're talking about the benefits. That's what David's talking about here, the benefits. Here's the next one. He redeems your life from destruction. We don't fully understand that Satan has a plan for your life. He hates you, and he has a horrible plan for your life. He wants you to experience total destruction all your life, all your day. And then, when you come to the end of your life, not to spend your life with God, but to spend your life in total destruction forever. That's his plan for you. That's what he wants you to do. God has another plan. God wants to bless you. So he sent Jesus to redeem your life from destruction. We're redeemed not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter wrote. It was Jesus' death that provided for us this redemption from a messed up life. You know, he did this in the Scriptures. Let me turn you a couple places in the Old Testament where God redeemed their life from that. You don't need to turn. Let me just refer to them. One is the life of Joseph. The word destruction, redeemed your life from destruction, the word can also be translated in the Hebrew Scriptures as the pit. And it can be destruction or pit, either one. Both of them are used. Which one's right? Both are right. So whichever you want to choose there. And God delivered Joseph straight from a pit, didn't he? Remember Joseph's story? How his brothers threw him into a cistern, a pit, sold him to Midianite slave traders. He went to Egypt. He served under Potiphar. He served in the jailhouse. But then he served as the prime minister of Egypt. God redeemed his life. So that Joseph said when his brothers met with him years later and they were scared Joseph would retaliate, Joseph said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." He redeems our lives. That's what God does. And so if people come with bad things to try and hurt you, you know what God will do? God will take that thing that they tried to hurt you with and will turn it around for your blessing. Why? Because he redeems our lives from destruction. Let me tell you another story that happened. There were these guys, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You remember them? Shadrach and Benny in the VeggieTales version, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But their real names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They all related to the one true God, and those boys never forgot it. And as they grew up and became men, they were groomed by Nebuchadnezzar's leaders so that they would be leaders of the people that Babylon was deporting. So they'd be governors in these different provinces. And they all came together one day. Daniel was out of town. They all came together. And the king had built up an idol and had told the people they had to worship the idol. And these three guys said, "We won't do that. We're not going to argue." They were very, very nice to him. They didn't say, "In your face, you lousy, rotten leader." I mean, he didn't do that. They just said, "We're not going to argue with you. We just want you to know, we're not going to bow down. If we perish, we'll perish. If we die, we'll die. But we're not going to bow down and worship. Our God's able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. Because we're going to worship the one true God." And you remember the story, right? Nebuchadnezzar got really hot at that, really mad, so he had him heat the fire up 7 times hotter, which doesn't make any sense. It shows you when you're mad, you shouldn't make decisions, major decisions, because that would just kill people faster. You know? I mean, but he heats it up 7 times hotter, so hot that the guys that threw them in died. The heat killed them. And they go bound into the fire, and what happens is the fire burns off their ropes, but doesn't burn them, and doesn't burn their clothing. And Nebuchadnezzar looks, and there's a fourth person. They threw in three, there's four people in there. And he said, "That fourth one looks like a son of God." Now, he didn't know about the Lamb of God, but I think the Lord was there protecting them. And they came out. And you know what happened to them? They got promoted. They got major job promotion because they stood for the Lord. But you know what God did? He redeemed their lives from destruction. Do you understand that? Isn't that a great blessing? Because there are people around that want you to fail. There are people around, and Satan especially, wants you to fail, wants to wipe your life out. But God wants to redeem your life from destruction. You do not have to fear. So he says, forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. Look at the next one, David says. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Interesting English phrase. The Hebrew word there means to surround you with. I don't know why they chose crown. I guess because it goes on top of you and it's part of going to be coming down to you. I don't know. But the word means to surround. So he surrounds your life with two things. Loving kindness. You know what that means? That means God's faithfulness to bring blessing into your life. Remember, he's like a father. This passage is going to say later on. And he's like the best father there's ever been. He loves you. There's nothing you can do that can undo that love. He loves you. 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 And he wants to surround you with his love. That's why it so hurts him when you go off to other places to gain things rather than going to him. Because he wants to bless your life. He wants to surround you with all the blessings that he can provide. And tender mercies. You know, he just gives you mercy after mercy. Even when you go off another way, you're not walking his way. He comes back. When you come to him, he comes to you with tender mercy. Again, later on he tells us, he remembers our frame that we're dust. He just gives you tender mercy. Isn't that wonderful? He surrounds us with a love that can never end. He surrounds us with mercy that's tender and not harsh. When we deserve something else. And the last thing in these five verses is, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. It'd be one thing to be delivered and then you're just hanging out. But he doesn't just deliver you and hang out. He delivers you and then he satisfies you. The picture is satisfies your mouth with good things. Some people are going to eat Thanksgiving dinner. And as they eat Thanksgiving dinner and they get full, do they want any more? Do they just come to a place where they get satisfied? Oh, would you like to have this? Oh, no, I've had plenty. I just can't have any more. That's the concept. You just have all that you can have. He satisfies you with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Eagles are interesting birds, and they have a time where they melt. That's where they let the feathers that are torn and old drop out and they grow new ones. It doesn't happen all at once or it's going to be defenseless. They couldn't fly. But it happens all along the way as they get rid of these. But they go through a season when they're doing that and then all of a sudden they have a whole new set and they're good and strong and they're able to go. God wants to renew you. You ever felt that renewal? That renewal that comes when you've been worn out and tired and kept going on and you finally come before the Lord and he just renews you and you're ready to go again. That's the eagle. Well, that's what the Lord wants to do for us. He loves us and he wants to provide us with forgiveness of iniquities, healing for any disease, redemption from destruction that Satan wants to bring into our life and uses other people to accomplish. He surrounds our life with loving kindnesses and tender mercies and satisfies us with good things so that we go, yeah, let's get going again. Let's do these things for the Lord. That's what he does. That's why we bless him. Nobody else is like him. He's good. Let's pray right now. Lord, we want to bless you and thank you for all that you provided for us. We'd like to first say we're sorry, Lord, because there are a lot of times that we forget all the things you've done. But we bless you because you have provided for us a panoply of so many, many different things that touch our lives in unique ways. We thank you, Lord, that you take care of the sin problem that's been part of our human race and you've taken care of that for us so that we have access to you at any time. We thank you, Lord, that you bring healing to our sick bodies. We can come to you. We thank you for doctors. We thank you for medicines. But boy, Lord, more than anything else, we thank you for you. Because you're able to accomplish things that you've said in your word, that you heal us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you rescue us from destruction like you did Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We thank you, Lord, that you throw loving kindnesses upon us and your tender mercies. And we thank you, Lord, that you're a God who renews us. You give us what we need and you renew us. Lord, there's some people who are listening to my voice today who know they've messed up in sin and they need to have, again, a renewal of your forgiveness in their lives. As they come before you, would you renew that understanding of forgiveness in their minds that they might walk in newness of life and strength again? There are others who have bodies that need a touch from your hand, Lord. Would you bring about your healing as you said that you would? There are others who are met up with difficult situations that the evil one has brought into their way using individuals here on our earth. Lord, would you redeem that situation? And instead of it bringing disaster, would you bring with it blessing? Would you show people how you provide them loving kindness and tender mercies? And when they need those things, Lord, would you just have them right there? And the good things that they need to refresh their lives. Thank you, you make them special for each one of us because you know the differences that all of us have. We bless you, Lord. There's nobody like you. We bless you with all there is within us. Bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.